Now then, this woman that we were casting these demons out of, I finally get down to two demons. After 7.5 hours, we're down to two demons. And I'm commanding with all the force I think I have and all the faith for these demons to come out of this woman. And I just can't get these last two out. They just will not come out. So that's when I looked over at the clock and I said, Lord, in 1 hour, I got to speak at that church tonight. I said, I've been fighting these demons all day long. And I hadn't had a drink of water or nothing for 7.5 hours. I said, when's this going to be over? And this just clears the bell. He said, son, I'm a faith God. When you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over. In other words, he had already said it is finished on the cross, had he not?
Amen.
Did he not say after this that all power is given to me in heaven and earth? Is that what he said?
Yes.
How much power?
All.
So how much does the devil have?
None
unless we give it to him.
Right.
None unless we give it to him. All power is given to God. You know, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. All those wonderful scriptures that belongs to us as children of the new covenant. So anyway, when I got this revelation from God, I'm a faith God. When you believe it's done, that's when it's done. Wow. That lit my fire. I reached down and I grabbed that woman by the shoulders. I looked her right in those eyes with them demons glaring right out at me. And I said, this is the last time I'm going to speak. But I said, in the name of Jesus, and of course, I wasn't gentle. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, my King, I command you last two demons to come out of this woman and go to the abyss of hell and never enter her again. And it's done in Jesus' name. And I throwed myself off of her and stood up at the end of the bed. And I said, now, woman, get up. You're delivered. I guarantee it in the name of Jesus. And she opened her eyes and looked up and she looked at Cheryl. She looked at me. She looked down at Dave at her feet. She said, where am I? What's going on? She didn't remember anything happened all day. I said, you're delivered, young lady. Get up. So I reached up and took her hand. She stood up. She says, what's going on? I said, well, you had a pain in your chest. Oh, yes, I remember. I said, you don't have it no more, do you? No, I do not. It's gone. Well, can you imagine how much pain 2,823 demons could put on you? Now, here she is, a lovely little lady. If you'd think, is it possible for her to have a demon? Oh, no, not possible. Yeah, you can have a demon. And if you've ever sinned, and how many of us have sinned?
All
of us. When you repented of that sin, somebody had to cast the devil out. Just like there in that scripture we read in Matthew 8:17. After Jesus cast the demon out, what did he do to the people? He healed them. After he cast it out, look what it said in Matthew 8:17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Look at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness or our disease. Now, if Jesus has already taken our infirmities or our sins, and he's already bore our sickness, then why do we have them? Is that a good question? If he has bore my sickness, then why do I have it? You know, I used to read these thinking, you know, this book don't make no sense at all. Because if somebody come along and I tell them, they say, I've got to have my car worked on. I said, that's no problem. I came out a while ago and checked it, found out she had a flat tire on it, so I fixed the flat tire, so I've already done it for you. Oh, good. So they go out there and jack the car up and take the good tire off and put the flat one back on it. Does that make any sense? But that's what we do. Is that right? If Jesus bore my sin, then why in the world do I sin? If I ask you, if you're a sinner, you know what nearly everybody in the church tells me? Oh yeah, I'm just an unworthy sinner saved by grace. I used to be an unworthy sinner and I was saved by grace. But I ain't an unworthy sinner no more. I'm a son of God right now. Are you a child of God?
Yes.
Then this covenant belongs to you. This covenant belongs to the children of God. Just think, the King says, my children, he gives me great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Boy, have we messed that one up, huh? Whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. It gives me great pleasure to give you this kingdom. And 1 Peter 2:21 through 24, look at this. It's NLT. Peter clearly says, and this is the example I left for you to follow. Look at this. For God called you to do good, Even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you, He is your example and you must follow in His steps. Do we understand that? Is He our example? Then we're supposed to follow in His steps. And somebody said, well, gee, I don't know what that is. Well, He didn't leave nothing for you to guess at. He told you in the next verse. Look what He said. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. Now, what example are you to follow? Are you supposed to do that? If God told you that this is the example that I left for you to follow, that in me there was no sin and I had no sin and I never deceived anybody, if this is what I did on this earth and I'm leaving this as an example for you to follow, is that what you're supposed to do?
Right.
Now then, is it going to be easy? No, it ain't going to be easy. There's too many people out there that's got too many demons that'll make your life miserable if they can. But it can be done. Because God will never tell you and me to do something He does not empower us to do. Is that right? Guarantee it. He did not retaliate when He was insulted. Oh, that's real easy, isn't it? So I walk up to you and say, you're the ugliest kid I ever seen in my life. Is it easy for you not to be insulted? It's not easy, is it, Ben? You got to just throw that off and say, that's just his own opinion. That don't have no effect on me, right?
Yeah.
That's what you got to walk in, right? But how many people can do that?
Not
very many. That's right. Somebody comes in and says something about you, you want to punch them out, right, A.A.? Especially when you were a younger guy, huh? But that wasn't what God told us to do either, was it?
No.
Well, we kind of messed up bad in the early years, didn't we?
Still a lot of them out there doing it.
I know a lot of them. It says, he left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Now then, there's something else, especially when it comes to the husband and the wife. Anytime the husband, if he says something the wife doesn't agree with, she just is silent and says, Lord, here he is. Take care of him. In fact, a woman came up to me one day, and we'd been teaching on husbands and wives, and she said, from what I heard you say, I guess if my husband told me to go sleep with another man, you would say I'm supposed to obey my husband. I said, yes, ma'am, that's exactly right. She said, I know you're crazy. She said, there's no such example in God's Word. I said, ma'am, have you read Genesis 12 and Genesis 20 lately? She says, well, I don't know what they say. I said, that's obvious. I said, in both cases, Abraham told his wife to go home with another man. And she did. She never argued. She never did anything except what he said. I said, in the first one, when she got over there, God struck the man with a plague. He was so sick and hurting so bad, he couldn't worry about sex with his beautiful woman. There wasn't no way he was able to have sex. He was hurting so bad all over. Do you know God knows how to do everything? You know, he can take care of anything. And so then he found out that this woman was Abraham's wife, and he said, oh my goodness gracious, send her back over there, give her, and then of course take sheep and goats and gold and silver. So you see, Abraham really prospered out of that. But it's kind of hard to obey. Well, the next one, when it happened the next time, the king was an honest, clean, pure guy, and he was getting ready to go to bed with Sarah one night, and the Lord spoke to him audibly and said, if you touch her, you're a dead man. Now, how would you like for God to speak to you and say, if you touch that, you're dead? Do you think God would do that?
Yes.
People say, God won't do that. Well, let me tell you what. What I just told you come right out of the Word of God. That's exactly what he said. He said, you touch that woman? So that woman's another man's wife. And said, if you touch her, you're a dead man. In fact, God went so far as to say, I have already closed the wombs of every woman in your kingdom because of this sin. Isn't that amazing? See, we don't understand what causes sickness and disease and plagues, but it's sin. In every case, it's sin. So when we come to the new covenant, Jesus has bore our sickness and removed our disease. And he's given us his new covenant with all his great and awesome power that if we will confess our sin and repent of our sin, then we can command these spirits that cause this sickness to come out of us. And when we do it in faith, they have to leave and we get well. But we go out looking for doctors to get us healed. And ain't no doctor can heal you with the problems you got. And that's just like Sharon. You see, isn't she a beautiful lady? Well, let me tell you what. Yeah, when this lady came to us 10 years ago, She had to be driven by somebody else because she couldn't drive her own car. She had brain tumors. She had aneurysms. She had allergies. She had back problems. She come to a healing school and heard all these wonderful things, just like I'm telling y'all today. And then after the healing school was over, she came up for prayer and she said, "Pastor, I have never heard the Word of God taught like this in my life. But," she said, "I want you to know I have been prayed for over 100 times in my church." She went to a great big church, had thousands of members. She said, "I've been prayed for hundreds of times, or over 100 times, with no results." I said, "Well, Sharon, first of all," I said, "how long have you had the problem?" She said, "Nearly 30 years. I said, "Okay, let's go back 30 years ago, and what sin did you commit?" Oh, my goodness, the Holy Spirit brought it to her mind. She told me what she'd done. I said, "Well, repent." And so she repented. I said, "Okay, now that's the first thing we do. We repent." I said, "The second thing," I said, "what scripture did you use to base your faith on?" She said, "Scripture? We didn't use a scripture to pray on or to base my faith on." I said, "And you see what you got. You've been prayed for 100 times. You didn't do it God's way. What did she get? Nothing." Now see, in Jeremiah 1:12, he says, God watches over His word and He's ready to perform His word, not my words, unless my words are His words. So if I'm speaking His words, He performs His words. And so anyway, I told her, I said, "Well, let's take one of these wonderful promises of the new covenant. And I think we use Matthew 18:19. And I'm going to show you what this says. Look what this says. Matthew 18:19. We're going back here in a minute. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask me, my Father in heaven will do it for you." Now, I'm telling you, the church don't believe that. If the church believed that, they would, none of us would ever go to a doctor. I mean, if any time we had a need, if we needed to sell our house, we needed extra money, we needed anything, if we believed that one promise of the new covenant, if you believed it, you'd find another believer. And if you're married, you'd get your wife or your husband, and the two of you would come together and agree upon Matthew 18:19. And if you're walking in obedience to God's word, what did He say He will do? Anything. Brother, He said anything?
Anything.
Well, if He really meant that, then why do we not believe it?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Bazookas in the Spirit, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.